It's back again. We thought it was dead, but it's back. It always comes back.
Oh, hey, everybody. How do you like this truncated version of the intro? Not a full, like, minute and a half of intro. It was very fun to have that many in the intro, like, the first 20 times I heard it. And now I'm not having as much fun with it. Although I will say this, part of me feels like maybe I should keep it going so that it comes back around to being funny again. Because I think that's how this sort of thing works. It's not funny, but then you're like, well, shit, now it's funny again. Becomes dank, if you will. So, got to tell you, little peek behind the curtain. I'm doing this in a room that's close to a bathroom. And, you know, sometimes you take the shit and sometimes the shit takes you. Am I right? Today we're going to talk about another unusual way to memorialize the dead. We've got, we did our episode about the save someone's skin and tattoos. Now we're going to do something called Icons in Ash. You can find them at iconsinash.com. A revolutionary way of keeping your memories alive. We make portraits of your beloved using their cremated ashes, custom and handmade at our studio in New York City. Now here's what I think is sort of funny about this. I think, custom and handmade at our studio in New York City. First of all, why would I give a fuck that your studio is in New York City? That seems like just a little pretentious nod at like, huh, New York City? Custom and handmade at our studio in New York City. I assume there isn't a machine. I guess you could just like throw... I already have a solution to this idea, or a cheaper way to do what we're talking about. Now, granted, is cheap always the way to do it? No. But I'm going to just say this. You get one of those printers with the ink cartridge. Get one of those ink cartridge refillers. Put some of the ashes in the ink. Print off a couple pictures. Boom. You got this effect. But let's not go there. Let's now go back and talk about... The reason I wanted to talk about this is, number one, I think it's weird. But number two, I found that when I was looking at this website, it seems a little up its own ass about what they're doing. The next section is Welcome to Our Studio, an intimate look inside our workspace featuring Icons in Ash founder Heidi Hatchery. Just a picture, you can't tell what the fuck's going on. So you can get an Icons in Ash memorial portrait, honor the memory of your loved one, and keep them in your life. Our exclusive patent transfer process was perfected over years of experimentation. We create a subtly textured surface made from a large number of particles of the cremated remains of your beloved, on which we then transfer the portrait image. This way it becomes an enduring work of art that transcends the mere image. The portrait is your beloved, in the most powerful and fundamental sense. Contained in a secure and elegant wooden shadow box frame equipped with glare-free museum-quality glass. Requires approximately 3 weeks to complete and return. A small 5-inch by 7-inch portrait. Let's just guess. $650. If you're interested in a portrait but are unable to pay the full amount, please contact us about alternative payment options. Well, that's nice. That's kind of a nice thing. I don't know if that's a real thing. Sometimes I wonder on these websites, they put something like that. I wonder if they're sincere or if they're just like, you know what, this will stop people from giving us a fucking hard time about the cost of it. Because I'll say this. Okay, $650 that's an expensive image for sure. But it's kind of like when people say that tattoos are expensive. I mean, I think a tattoo probably should be expensive because it's a piece of art that lives on your skin and you're carrying it around the rest of your life. So how much, is this the time to haggle on price? Is this the thing to haggle on? But at the same time, I think sometimes these death industries take advantage of that, right? is this the time to haggle and blah, blah, blah. What they need is a small amount of cremated remains, about 2 ounces. That's not a lot. A photograph. The photo can be an image at any age in their life. The face needs to be fairly prominent. Please choose a profile or frontal portrait. There should be background space around the head. Mouth should be closed. Must be a high-resolution image. An image must be the same size as the portrait you select. So I guess you have to have a larger photo in order to do. So it seems like they're just copying, basically doing what I said. You should just do, but maybe a little different. They also do mosaic portraits, and they do pet memorial portraits, which I think is weird. Here's what I think is weird about this. Again, just like the tattoo thing where they keep your skin and the tattoos preserved like in a shadow box. On the one hand, this makes a little more sense for me because, sure, you have the ashes and you just make them into an urn or put them in an urn and then put that somewhere. And that's kind of a thing. People keep the ashes. We don't usually keep people's skin, but we do usually keep the ashes. So I guess I can sort of understand, like, well, maybe I want to do something with the ashes. But on the other hand, this isn't using all of the ashes. It's using a small portion of the ashes. And it's replicating an image you already have. So it's like, well, couldn't you just have the image? Why does it matter that I don't quite get it. This one, I guess, doesn't seem as creepy to me as it just seems like weird. So what you got to do, you got to, they send you a mailing kit. So then it's like a little bag for the ashes and then a bag for the bag of the ashes that all goes in an envelope. And it's got a priority mail thing and a sticker on it that says cremated remains from the post office. Can you just get those? Postal sticker. I wonder if they just have those, like, can I just order those? Cremated remains label, U.S. Postal Service. You get a roll of 100. It says, it looks like it costs $0. Can I just do this? Like, what happens if I just do this? I'm going to add to cart. Check out now. Let's see what happens. Oh God, I have to have a username and password. What do you think the chances are I've got a username and password for the postal service? Not the band, but the service. Damn it. Sign up now. Not now. Is there anything worse than a computer wants to keep your password and you're like, well, here's the thing about your wanting to keep my password. I haven't typed in the correct password yet. Oh, God. Got to do security questions. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I always wonder if they're, like, case-sensitive and whatnot. This is fascinating. Pete fills out forms on podcast. But I'm really curious to find out, can I get just a whole roll of things that say cremated remains? Do they just send those to fucking whoever? Putting in my phone number. I'm gonna just assume they're going to send me a bunch of nonsense because that's what the post office does with my address, right? They just send me a bunch of crap that I don't want. So why would it be any different with my phone number? Why would the post office treat my phone number with more respect than they treat my whatever? Okay, now I'm registered. So now I've got to, like, go all the way back here and then say, like, okay, oh, wait. Oh, maybe it's doing it automatically. Okay, checkout. No, I'll just use that address, ship to this address. I think this is happening. I think this is happening. Place my order. I understand. It's provided for sending Priority Mail Express. And priority misuse may be a violation of federal law. I agree with that. I agree. Okay. Okay, so apparently I'm going to get a roll of 100 stickers that say cremated remains in the mail that I will not use for anything other than sending ashes. Just in case the Postal Service is listening, whatever. It's kind of funny because on this website of Icons and Ash, the cremated remains sticker is black and white. It looks classy. And on the post office thing, it's like bright orange with it's like creamsicle colors. You're like, that's not as classy, although I guess they want you to know. It seems like maybe a good thing to put on an envelope that you don't want people to fuck with, though. Cremated remains. All right, so then you get your package. Understanding the sensitive nature of our work, we handle your entrusted ashes with the utmost care and consideration. Please only fill the provided small transparent bag with cremated remains. Knowing that this is a difficult time, it is our priority to assist you with any questions or concerns. And then you get the thing. Our attention to detail reflects the value we place on your experience. Each finished portrait is prepared with this in mind. Once everything passes our rigorous quality standards checklist, it is ready to be sent back to you. Empathy is at the core of our studio, which is why each of our portraits are made with love and compassion. Really, really putting a lot of like buzzwords in here of empathy and compassion and whatever. Here's our story. This is my least favorite part of most websites. I mean, with something like this, I kind of get it because it's unusual, but I hate when you go to a restaurant and it's like our story. And it's like, since 1997, this restaurant has been serving the community. And you're like, okay, what a storied history. Also, I don't really care. I mean, does anyone really care? If your restaurant has an interesting story, then go for it. But when this is the story that you're just like, well, this is what my aunt would say about the place, and you're like, okay. Founder Heidi Hatchery is a contemporary fine artist. Hatchery's father's death at a young age left her with a persistent sense of unresolved grief and a daunting void within. Many years later, after a dear friend had committed suicide, she sought solace. She sought solace through the seashore, through her art practice as a way of coping with this now intensified and fiercely resurfacing grief. Following a sudden inspiration, Heidi Hatchery decided that she must make portraits of her father. Her discovery revealed the possibility of a life-altering silent communion that Hatchery knew she wanted to share with others who are suffering their own loss. Now, I found this interviews and essays. There's an Icons and Ash book, by the way. So wait a minute. Icons and Ash includes 17 of Hatchery's portraits, which have been encountered and enhanced by the essays of 27 contemporary writers. I have not heard of any of these people. Steven Pinker, I've heard of that guy. That's a guy. I think he writes like business books, doesn't he? Doesn't seem fair to include Heidi Hatchery in there. This is a $38 book with 17 portraits. Okay. Let's see. Should we try one of these? The Brooklyn Rail, In Conversation with Thirza Nichols Grieve and Lila Pedro. Oh, boy. The first question. Were you really just on, quote, to tell the truth? Yes, they had to guess who is the real Heidi Hatchery, the artist making the portraits out of cremated remains of the depicted subject. I had never heard of this fairly well-known show from... What? Okay. You grew up on a pig farm. How do you mean? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, let's try this. Question. I think it's extraordinary when people call something not art. It can be bad art or boring art, but not art? I'm wondering if it's a question of material or medium. For example, in the Not a Rose works, is the argument that what they are made from makes them not art? If so, why? The icons and ash are as embedded in art historical tradition as anything can be. The status of the portrait as a category of art is not in question. So again, is there something insurmountable about unsettling materials? What specifically were they objecting to? Well, of course, he didn't really know what to say about the actual work, even though the letter was full of dismissively knowing asides on postmodern art, only that he has been on many art juries over the past 60 years, and this is not art. I have no problem with them telling me they aren't really into what I do, but to tell me it is now time to start making real art with real materials was very disappointing. It disenchanted the beautiful and cherished memories I had of them. Question, you get that a lot, the issue of gimmick or sensationalism. This is how David Cohen framed the discussion at the art critical panel at the Brooklyn Library in March, something to the effect of, is this a sublime new technique or merely a gimmick? Someone says, I'm also another question. So two questions in a row. I'm also interested in the presumed binary that is embedded in the question of sensationalism. The notion that some things are intrinsically sublime and some intrinsically gimmicky strikes me as breathtakingly reductive. A gimmick is something that is calculated to draw attention. Isn't an artwork intended to elicit a response? Isn't an artist's role, in part, to discover and deploy the most appropriate mediums in order to frame the question she's trying to pose? The gimmick label seems more an indicator of the labeler's relation to particular subjects or mediums than any actually cogent descriptor. I don't think that David Cohen wanted to say that it's a gimmick, or he wouldn't have chosen to talk about my work. I think he wanted to give the panelists a basis for contention that in principle would lead to a lively debate, while nevertheless raising the issue in a knowing sort of way as a signal to the art sophisticate who might reflexively dismiss conceptual work whose concept is ostensibly simplistic, or as someone at the New York Times said, literal. And these portraits are made for people mourning a loved one. In that sense, the audience is very specific. Yeah, I mean, this is what annoys me about this artsy shit. Okay, I'm also interested in the presumed binary that is embedded in the question of sensationalism. The notion that some things are intrinsically sublime and some intrinsically gimmicky strikes me as breathtakingly reductive. A gimmick is something that is calculated to draw attention. Isn't an artwork intended to elicit a response? Isn't an artist's role, in part, to discover and deploy the most appropriate mediums in order to frame the questions she's trying to pose? The gimmick label seems more an indicator of the labeler's relation to particular subjects or mediums than any actual cogent descriptor. Why you gotta be so fucking fancy? Can't you just say the same thing real quick? Like, say, okay, some people say what you're doing is a gimmick, but what do you think of that label? Do you think that gimmick is problematic, or are you just, like, fine with it? Fuck them. Let them say what they want. How do you react when your stuff's called a gimmick? Like, why is this person laying out their entire thesis on what a gimmick is and how it functions in art and blah, blah, blah? I mean, it's like, okay, calm down. We get it. You're smart. Okay, you don't have to talk about... I mean, this is a very simple question asked in the most complicated and asinine way. This is the kind of question that's asked to be like, aren't I smart? I'm the smart. Well, anyway, I guess I'll keep you updated on whether or not I get my fucking 100 stickers for Cremains. And if any of you have a need for one in the near future, then you know who to call. I guess my excuse would just be, well, it only seemed that I could order 100 of them, so I did. But I only really need one. Anyway, there you go. Portraits in ash. Not as disturbing, perhaps, as human skin with tattoos on it, but still weird. Also, I gotta say, when you're doing art for hire, when you're basically a hired gun and you're making stuff, I don't know how artsy it is. But that's probably a discussion for another time.
My goddamn ones. Now you're still a product. He numbers velocity. Develop.